KFC Radio. We got very special guest David Koechner in the building. We got Rob along here.
He's, hello.
The feature on the new movie, Bernard and Huey, which is out Friday. It's on video on
out
demand.
Today.
Today. It'll be out today. Video on demand and in select theaters.
Yes.
And I like your style, man. The way you came in here, I was like, all right, this is, we're going to have some fun here.
Can I ask a quick question, too? This is a personal one before we even get into it. You wear a fat suit in the movie? Because you're a pretty trim
skinny
guy.
Dude.
You had
no,
some.
I lost weight.
You lost weight? Okay.
I love fat suit in
the
movie.
Sick.
It tells you how heavy I was at the time.
I
think I was drinking quite a bit then, too.
You were method acting.
Yes. You know what? Also, we'd started shooting Superior Donuts, which is now canceled, but was on the air while we were shooting at the time, and I gained 15 quick pounds.
Oh, that'll do it.
The quick 15 is always,
Kev's a big donut guy. He knows that.
It's good for your everything.
Good for the soul.
Yeah,
between the beard and the weight, I wouldn't even recognize you, man.
That's sweet. Yeah. I guess
looking sharp. Yeah, that's always like a well. I guess I look good now, but you're telling me that I really look like shit back then.
No,
it's kind
true.
Of the vibe, right?
When I meet people, they usually say, "Wow, you're taller than I thought."
We get that
a lot
too.
And you've lost a lot of weight, but that's forever. I mean, it's even like, when I was Anchorman, I was like 195, and people thought I was like 220.
Yeah.
I play a little broad.
It's the camera too, right? You've heard that a million times.
Sure, we'll blame the camera.
Yeah, listen, the camera. They always say 15. I'm like, it's like 20, 25. We were on film the other day, and I was wearing a T-shirt, and I just had like a full-blown like C cup. I was
nice.
Like, oh,
it was
God.
Disgusting.
Forever for the rest of the week, I'm gonna walk around my arms crossed. Like, this is just
you're wearing
a
sweatshirt
disaster.
In summer now. Titties was out.
Then you promise yourself, I'll just start with 10 push-ups a day.
Literally, I did 10 push-ups.
Yeah. You say just like that's not a lot.
I was
wobbling by the 10th.
Right. The other morning, I woke up. It was actually the morning after that video premiered. I woke up 6:30 in the morning. Fresh as a daisy, and I said, you know what? It's gym day today. I'm going to do this. I watched about 3 episodes of The Office.
Oh,
in bed.
Nice.
Didn't get out of bed.
Nice.
The opposite of gym day, essentially.
Yeah. Well, all right, I guess I'll go to work now.
Yeah. We'll get into some Office talk, obviously. We got Todd Packer here, but the new movie is Bernard and Huey, and it's the story of two guys who kind of reconnect in life after they were friends in college, and two different paths kind of coming back together. One is... Actually, we describe him as my friend here, John, in about 20 years.
Yeah, I'm Huey.
Yeah,
Huey.
You guys are kindred spirits, you know, kind of chewed up, spit out, and kind of living a rogue life.
Yep.
And Bernard, who's more newly divorced, you guys kind of reconnect.
Yes.
But it kind of runs with a lot of themes of what we talk about here. We're always talking about life, guy shit, lifestyle, whatever. And we're always asking questions, you know, are you allowed to do this? Can you do that? My first one off the bat is, are you allowed to have sex with your friend's daughter?
No.
That's a quick one, right?
That's a quick answer.
That's like a baseline test. Like,
Rob
like,
here's not so sure.
The concussion test, where you got to get the baseline, like, okay, he's sane. We got that. Next one. Rob disagrees, though.
I think if you have sex, then you have to marry her.
Okay.
Then it makes it like it was love. It wasn't lust.
I'm gonna go no still.
You can't marry your friend's daughter?
I think I'd rather have my friend sleep with my daughter rather than marry her. I think like one night stand rather than a marriage.
Then you're calculating. Oh, you're sleeping together
all the time.
Yeah.
I can't sleep with any of my friends' daughters because I'm married. You see.
Right. Right.
So I can only sleep with one person.
If you were to,
yes.
Is there anyone you
want? No. Well, my daughter is only. Well, my friends do. I guess I don't even think about it. I don't because I have a daughter and
right.
So.
No, quick though.
Well, then the I guess the follow up to that was the revenge move was to sleep with his ex, right?
Okay.
So your friend sleeps with your daughter, so revenge, you sleep with his ex.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Is that fair game?
Everyone here in the scenario is divorced.
Yes, everyone's living a single life here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Separated.
I think that is acceptable. And
do you?
I think your buddy would be like, good. I think if you
see, that's what Kevin's always had.
Say,
that
I'm with you.
With me.
He's.
I've always been I'm Neil Armstrong, and once the USA flag has been planted there, the moon is mine, and you don't get to go there.
I'm trying to fuck the moon.
You don't get to go and take that from me. I feel like that's we had an intimate relationship.
You landed,
you don't get to go that way.
You didn't stay on the moon. You landed and you went back, and now the moon is international waters. I can go on the moon
there.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
You're
here for a cup of coffee.
The Neil Armstrong joke. I don't know if it's true. Apocryphal story. Apparently. Neil Armstrong, when he was growing up, this could be a lie, but apparently when he was, pardon me, he was growing up, the neighbors were arguing that we're on. We can curse.
Oh, yeah. Say whatever you want.
Apparently, the guy, the neighbor next door, the dad or whatever, wanted a blowjob from his wife. And she said something like, "You'll get that when the neighbor boy walks on the moon." And this, like I said, could be an apocryphal story, but apparently, and I don't know, you had to go back through the transcripts. Is this young man looking it up right now? No? You're not
get
working?
On it. Get on. What are you doing? Neil Armstrong blowjob story.
Apparently, Neil Armstrong said something like, "Good luck, Mr. whatever his name was, Mr. Wolf or something like that, tonight."
And she still didn't blow up. Damn it. And then he had sex with her, his daughter.
I'm going to look that up.
Yes.
But I think if you're divorced, you don't care who sleeps with your ex-wife because you're done. You've moved on.
I'm with you on that one,
I
man.
I think I just never move on. I'm a romantic, Dave.
Okay. And well, then you're not going to get divorced.
No, I'm never going to get married.
That's real romantic.
So romantic. He's never going to go down the aisle.
Very romantic.
What about your buddy's sister? Is that the equivalent to he's with your daughter and then you?
Yeah. I think daughter is the worst.
Yes.
I think sister next. And then X is a distant third. Oh, yeah. So I would go daughter, mother, because that's just like weirdly inappropriate. Like at least you'd imagine the sister's within the right age range.
Sure. Right.
Sister, distant fourth, X.
With the mother, you also go, how long have you been thinking about this?
Yeah. That's a great point.
Eighth grade?
You know what it is? It's premeditated. Yes. It's like, I've been plotting how I'm going to fuck your mom.
Everything else is manslaughter. Yeah. This is mom is murder.
Yes, exactly. Like, a sister, an ex can be like, hey, we were out, we were drinking. A mother, it's like, I've been trying to find a way to fuck your mom.
Since I was 12.
Decade. Yeah.
Decade. We're like 25 years. A gum gum jobby jobby. She has dentures.
I thought you were speaking a different language.
Is that like Swahili?
Language of a motherfucker. Classic.
So in the show, in the movie, like I said, it's two guys reuniting after like 25 years. So you're both kind of washed up, kind of over the hill in some ways. At what point is it like, how old is too old to kind of be running wild?
I don't think there is an age for guys.
That's a great answer. Yeah.
That's my guy.
It's very different for guys and girls. For guys, it's like a state of mind sort of thing. It's how you look, how much money you got, what kind of lifestyle you live.
But even then, you know, Huey's in a tough spot. He's running around. He's got a goofy hat like I buy, the gentleman's cap. He got the leather jacket with the Navajo strip.
Yeah, that was a crazy jacket.
Kind of on it. But it worked. You kind of have that nomad, hopeless romantic. It's kind of like, I don't know if you were a Californication guy, but kind of like
Hank
Moody-esque. Hank Moody.
I've not seen that show. Okay. Yeah,
it's kind of, he's just a guy who's sad, but he makes it handsome. And that's kind of how Huey was, I think. He made it work. He made a desirable sadness.
Yeah, the movie was written by Jules Feiffer, who wrote Carnal Knowledge. Mm-hmm. And he also wrote a bunch of plays, who had been married 3 or 4 times. And so it's kind of his life. And he'd also written these cartoons for Playboy in the early 70s. So that's what a lot of this was built on. These two friends, Bernard and Huey, in these cartoon panels, would have these discussions about life and women.
Yeah.
So the play, this screenplay was written in the 80s, I believe. So
oh, really?
A lot of this
stuff.
It's
like 25 years later, they like kind of resurfaced.
You know, in the point of view of the movie is a little rough.
Yeah.
You know, it could, you know, I guess you could have a great discussion about it because it's pretty misogynist in terms of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is they're stuck in the past. And that's the other thing, you know, Huey's daughter is as ballsy as he is, which is really an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. Mae Whitman, right? She's awesome.
She's
I love
fantastic.
Her. She's good to work with?
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
One of the things I think Huey fully embraces is kind of, for better or worse, living that like alone lifestyle. Kind of runs away from things. Embraces
from
that.
Yeah, he just runs. Right. And he's an alcoholic. He runs. He deals weed. He's got a weed farm in Colorado.
That's not dealing weed. That's he's a businessman.
That's in the business of weed. But, you know,
responsible weed dealer.
Yeah. There's something about that. If you've refused to be in a relationship to that degree. And he's already been married, and I think he ran through a lot of women, then, you know, he's never going to be settled with himself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the end of the movie, of course, I don't want to give it away, but whatever. And then, you know, he's had a distant relationship with his daughter, all those years a non-existent relationship for at least 15 years, it seems like. So
yeah, you don't want to, like, I don't want to encourage, like, running away, especially if you got kids and stuff. But there's something something intriguing about just being like, I'm not doing any of this fucking shit. You know, I'm just like,
yes. I mean, that's a strong choice. Why not? You know, if that's the choice you make, that's fantastic.
Right.
I think
there's a lot of stigma attached to it.
Well, if you have kids and you,
of course, run away, say you take away the kids.
That's
everything else. Where you're just like, hey, if you want to live rogue.
Yep.
I think there should be nothing wrong with
that. I agree with you.
It sounds like a nice lifestyle.
No harm, no foul.
It.
Look, if you don't have kids, who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
It's only natural, right? Like, it's a grass is greener thing. You always fantasize about the other life. You know, like,
yep.
I think about what it would be like to have a wife and kids. I am more on the Huey side at the moment.
Yeah.
But, like, I think, like, yeah, you think about that. And I'm sure you think about, like, but I've said this before. I think, you know, the running joke in my family is my mom says if my dad didn't have to live with us, he wouldn't. Because he has, you know, his own room in the garage, not his own bedroom, but, like, he goes watch TV in the garage and goes on vacation and stuff like
by
that.
Himself?
Well, it's not vacation. Like, we have, like, a summer house that he goes to all the time.
Has
the weekend.
An entire other family in another city.
Alter ego, different name, couple different passports.
He's got three different licenses. Right.
He's
crazy.
A gay man in another state. He's very, he gets around.
Yeah, to me, I'm like, I try to honor my father-in-law has passed, God rest him, but I try to honor him in respect to his daughter, my wife, in the way that I want someone to marry my daughters. I have three. So to me, I'm like, I want to make sure they're going to have good relationships and meet and tend to and partner with good men for long-term relationships. And I don't want some guy who's running around on my daughter.
No doubt.
You know, because then there's going to be bats and glass bottles in the wrong places involved.
Respect that.
If anyone ever
that's that Kansas City right there. That's that Kansas City.
That's right.
You are a Kansas City guy.
I'm country,
huh?
Guys.
Country boy.
If you mess with my daughter, I'm coming at you. I don't care. I don't. I'll wait too. I'll wait. I shouldn't say this on the air. This could be used
we'll
as
cut.
Evidence
we'll get rid
in
of
20
it.
Years. But yeah, don't touch any of my daughters.
I rescind my earlier statement about it being okay to have sex with my daughter. I was kidding. I'm drunk. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Do you get back to Kansas City a lot?
We're just there for 2 weeks in a row. Rob and I just played the Kansas City Improv
Memorial
Day weekend, and my wife actually opened.
Oh, no
kidding. For Rob and I, yes.
Oh,
shit. She did 8 minutes up top. And then, because she's from Kansas City, and she'd taken a stand-up class in L.A. a couple years ago. And so she wanted to open because she had a lot of. Because what happens, a lot of her friends on Facebook said, "You're opening for David, right?" I'm like, "Oh my God." So she opened and Rob featured. And so, yeah, we're in Kansas City for that. And then last weekend was a charity thing called The Big Slick that I do with Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, Eric Stone Street, and Jason Sudeikis. And we bring about 30 celebrity friends in.
That's Kansas heavy, City's got a squad.
That's
huh?
a heavy hitter.
No one really
strong.
Thinks
that
Kansas
Holy
City is as a celebrity City, yeah. hotbed, yeah, but yeah. man, you guys are killing it.
And so we raised $2 million, $2.1 million for Children's Mercy Hospital.
Wow, shit! Great,
yeah.
Congratulations, that's incredible.
So we do that every year, and then I get back like that. My sisters all live in Kansas City, and we usually go back for a family reunion down to Table Rock Lake. me and Kansas City go down to Table Rock, and then Rob and I usually Rob Riggle and I usually host a tailgate. At the Chiefs for Children's Mercy Hospital.
Wow, that's great.
Is that like your partner in crime, Rob Riggle? You say the guy
I've known
you
Rob
kinda,
for a long time. Rob actually knew my wife before I did. He's 2 years younger than her, and they went to the same high school. So that was, you know, just one of those
weird.
Interesting happenstances.
Yeah, not
that interesting, but it is to me.
Let's do 10 more minutes on. Do they have the same teachers? Where was his locker?
Rob and I are touring the country. We're doing a comedy tour called Symphony of Chaos, and Rob opens, and I do the finish, and we're at Gotham Comedy Club this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, two shows each night. My buddy Craig Davis, who's not on the mic, who I've known for 35 years, plays guitar, and so this weekend only, I'm bringing out a couple old songs from the Naked Trucker and T-Bone show, doing $2 and a hand job, and then also another song called The Dirtiest Song Ever Written.
Can we get a preview of that?
The classics.
I don't know. See if I can think of it.
You want Craig to join?
She's a walking down the street, throwing you some heap, but things ain't what they seem. That's a nice moose knuckle under that belt buckle. Oh wait, I've messed it up. What is it, Craig? Do you remember? I don't remember the lyrics. I'll know them by tomorrow night, but it's been a year since I've done it. Oh my God! Yes, that it gets really dirty.
It sounds like it's appropriately named.
Yes. you know what? It was so dirty, and I wrote it with my buddy Andy Paley, and I was giddy about the lyrics, like any, you know, sixth grade boy would be, because all men are sixth grade boys.
Yes,
mm-hmm. I mean, that's about
100%. We've always said everybody just has a sixth grade boy inside of them that yes. you're trying to suppress to be an adult, and right. every now and then it gets out.
And if a woman can find or get her man up to a 14-year-old boy, you marry him.
Submission accomplished.
Is this ever going to get?
He hit puberty. Let's lock it in.
Andy and I wrote this song. It was so dirty, and I was giddy with laughter, and I couldn't wait to share it with my wife. And I said, "What do you think?" She goes, "Is that what you want?" there's a line about
yes. Yeah.
Thanks for asking. Do you want me to tell the truth or do you want me to lie?
There's a line about taking her down south and then putting it in her mouth. And so
poetry.
Yes.
Wow.
Craig's in the background. Yeah, buddy.
That's very Walt Whitman, or is that Robert Frost? I
hope you like dirty cum because you're going to taste some.
I hope you like. Yes. I hope you like dirty cum because you're going to taste some when I put my shitty cock in your mouth.
Everybody now.
All right. It is everybody.
In the back.
The chorus is fuck you, and fuck you too. So it is the dirtiest song ever written.
Yeah. American classic indeed. I like it.
Now, before we got in here, we talked a little bit about the Chiefs. We've heard you guys deal with agents a lot more than we do, I imagine. But we heard there was a little bit of a run-in
situation
with an NFL agent.
Rob, you want to tell this story? We were in Kansas City, and the manager comes back and says, "Hey, someone from the Chiefs wants to say hi before the show." And I'm thinking it's a player. He said, the guy said he didn't want to hang out after the show. He'd rather just come back and take a picture now. So I thought it was going to be a Chiefs player.
Yeah, or a coach. We're excited.
Something. Yes, we're excited. Guy comes back, says he's an agent, and he represents all these Chiefs.
His name Tyreek Hill. He starts dropping all these, you know, this guy didn't get his performance bonus. It cost me X amount of money. Right. Here's my phone, pictures of me and all these famous NFL athletes, Antonio Brown, Tony Gonzalez at this banquet. And
now he's wearing camouflage yes. shorts and just an Under Armour.
Not an impressive
sounds
looking
about right.
Okay.
Gentleman. Now you're painting the picture.
Look
I get
at him.
It.
And all I'm thinking is, Chiefs tickets.
Right.
So hang in there. Listen, get Chiefs tickets.
I say, "Where do you live?" He goes, "Topeka." I go, "Does an NFL agent live in Topeka?" I don't know. And then I say, "Did you sign any players in this year's class?" He goes, "Yeah, I didn't really care for this year's class." I'm like, "Well,
not
you sign
really
a player,
seat.
You get paid. Who cares if they suck? You get paid." So I'm like, "Okay." So we exchange information. He's promising tickets to this and that. He said I could go to the Hall of Fame game, the worst game you want to go to, right? The first game of the year, the preseason. It's 97 degrees in Canton, Ohio. Why would I want to go to that? But whatever. So I go home and I Google him, and he is an agent. He's an insurance agent. Home, life, and auto.
He wasn't lying.
Yeah. No,
I am an agent.
Well, he has Tyreek Hill's car insurance.
Yes. And he goes, "I work with the Chiefs, not the organization. I work with some Chiefs."
Yes.
Players.
I mean, fair is fair. Yeah. He didn't say anything that was untrue.
He
didn't technically tell an untruth.
Right. He didn't. But he wanted you to sign things. He had a whole angle for some charity. I mean, it was very douchey.
Please. I imagine you have to deal with that. We kind of get it, you know, at a very minimal level. I'm sure yours is much higher. But how do you deal with, like, saying goodbye to someone who's just someone in the street? Like, do you
keep walking.
You just keep walking?
Yeah.
I've been working on that one.
Yeah. But you're pretty good at, you usually stop in a photo
Yeah, I'll do a photo, but then it's over. Right. You know.
We run into a lot, we'll be at a bar.
Yeah.
And it's a photo and a handshake, and then they
just
hang
stand.
And then it's like, okay, we're not friends in real life, man.
Right. The thing is, don't take the drink.
Yeah.
It's the closest you can ever understand what a woman goes through.
Right.
Dude buys you a drink, and now he owns you for the period of time.
It's a great way to put it.
Yeah. To drink that thing. So you either drink it fast, or you go, "I don't do shots because I don't, because I'm 55. Once you're over 50, you don't have to do shots again. And you can all say, "Oh, thanks, I don't do shots." I'm like, "Come on, dude. Like, seriously, I don't."
Yeah.
Until you hit 60, then you start again.
So, yeah, I guess you could get back into a conversation if you're both there together. You can also go, "Oh, you know what?
We have that thing.
My buddy's having a hard time. We're in the middle of a really intense conversation."
Yeah.
But I get you. Yeah, that's the thing. And that's, you know,
because you don't want to be rude. You don't want to lose a fan.
Right.
Exactly.
Also, you want to live your own life.
And now look what a woman's faced with.
Yeah.
So if she doesn't sit there and talk to this guy and entertain him for the time it takes to drink that drink, he walks away and goes, "Bitch."
Right.
Like, well, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. She doesn't owe you anything. You bought her the drink. That's it.
And she'll stay there all night because at least us, if he takes it the wrong way, it's at least a fair fight. Right. Yeah. A woman's
gonna. You ain't going anywhere.
There are a million horror stories about what happened to a woman who said no to a drink or no to a date. So I can get that. That makes a lot of sense.
I guess the other thing is always carry an onion.
Oh.
And take a huge bite. Get real close.
Stank it up.
Get real close, dude. I've got to tell you the longest story. Real close.
You've got a handful of characters, which I think are true cult classic type of characters. You got Todd Packer in The Office. We're huge Office guys. Champ Kind, Neckerman. And I'm going to go ahead and throw Stumpy and Out Cold in there. I mean, that is...
Deep dive.
I think that was my first run-in with David Koechner. Uh-huh. And I love Out Cold. Out Cold's one of my favorite movies ever.
It's a cult classic.
It's so great.
Because you were 13 or 14.
Yeah, Wheelhouse. Yeah.
I was 13. You nailed it. 2001, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you crushed that.
It was supposed to be an R-rated movie, but that was the year they came out and said, there was a real strict guideline about letting kids into R-rated movies, because they changed it, so then they moved our movie from R to PG-13.
Okay.
So they cut back on some of the raunch and stuff that probably.
He still had plenty stuck in there with Galifianakis getting his dick caught in a hot tub and stuff like that.
Eskimos have 9 words for cock stuck in a hot tub. Hell, they only have 6 words for snow.
Do you know, we were just kind of like reminiscing about it yesterday when we found out we were going to do this interview, and we looked it up. And do you know what the Rotten Tomatoes is on that movie?
Do you care about that?
It's wildly offensive, and I want to start a movement right now. It's 8.
8?
What?
8.
Wow.
Everyone who's listening to this, go rate it a 10. Yeah. And we're 100, whatever it may be.
There's no better sign of a good movie when the critics give it like an 8 and then the audience score is like 87.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I know it's a great fucking movie.
Those are 1,000% of my movies.
Yeah. So we're gonna get that up there.
It's not a reviewable movie. It's not a movie that is for critics.
No, not at all.
Pure adolescent enjoyment.
How and critics
movies
are
shouldn't
the fuck,
be
how
for
do
critics?
You deal with critics?
I don't. I mean, you're nice to them if you ever have a chance. Now, look, on Rotten Tomatoes now, who are these people?
Right. Yeah, right. That's
tell
the
me
thing.
Your credentials.
Yeah.
Did you study film criticism?
Right.
Or are you just a guy?
Right.
Because look, people will look, like you said, look at the audience vote, or there's other websites where people just audience reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And
which
so
is way more important.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and critics should say this is my favorite movies and shows. So you can get a barometer of, oh, he likes that movie. Well, that's
then,
really
of course,
not
going like
to be
this.
My taste.
We're looking just kind of going through things before you guys came in, and I still have it up, the Rotten Tomatoes for Bernard and Huey, which is very well reviewed, by the way. And I don't mean to harp on Rotten Tomatoes because I don't give a fuck about this, but it was just something that happened to come across my phone. And this is like something a critic wrote. Bernard and Huey deserves to exist if only to bug the insufferably Stalinist woke among us.
Oh, my
God. What does this fucking mean?
Who the fuck writes that sentence? And that's in case you didn't know, that's positive. Yeah. It's a good review.
But you want to punch that guy in the face, you're saying.
Right in his fucking mouth. Yeah, like, can you imagine just typing that out? I nailed
you're not
this.
Even Send a real editor. Human.
Well, first of all, what's your stance on Stalin, sir? Fan? Spend time in the gulag? Did you tell us?
But as far as Todd Packer and Champ Kind, I mean, I was actually debating it on the way over on the subway. Who's the better character? I feel like they're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, they are. They're
you,
both.
You,
they
you
both
put
have...
a cowboy hat on Todd Packer. I feel like you could kind of. But it's got to be Todd Packer. No, what's more near and dear to your heart?
I don't have to choose among my children, do I?
Sophie's choice here.
You have a favorite. Come on.
I actually, if I were you, it would probably be Champ Kind. Major motion picture, Anchorman, sequels, the whole nine. I mean,
well, you're right in that they're very similar. And the thing is, they're both horrible misogynists.
Mm-hmm.
They're racist, jingoistic. I think that Champ's closeted. Packer's not. They're both horrible guys.
Horrible. In the best ways.
I'd say Champ's got more passion.
Okay.
So I appreciate that.
But Packer, I think the Packer thing is that you watch The Office, you love it, and then suddenly you come in an episode and you're that jolt
right.
of this great character that's not there all the time. And even so you appreciate.
You don't even have to necessarily be on camera when they mention yes. him or Michael references
yeah, just
him.
The
it's
name,
like
you go
there.
To something
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, the Pac-Man. I mean, my favorite, you know, I've seen The Office probably 20 times wow. through. Like I just, mm-hmm. It's just what
He's
I do. I put it on when I fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, I put it on when I wake up.
I hear
up.
That all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of just, it's like a story. Because I've seen it, I can close my eyes and picture it in my head because I've seen it so many times. So it's like Michael Scott is telling me to go to bed, right?
Uh-huh.
And but my favorite, as many times as I've seen it, and as many you know major characters there are, my favorite line is still without a doubt, you know, Jim Halpert, tall, queer, handsome as hell.
It's funny how endearing it is because, like you said, when you really list out the characteristics, it's like these people are terrible. Yet everyone's like, ah, the Pac-Man. Yeah, it's the Pac-Man.
I you know, of course, in the show, I'll do lines from the movies and the TV because people demand it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not stupid, but it's always interesting to me because I always say, what's up, Halpert? Still queer. And to me, I'm like, wow, it's so inappropriate.
Wildly inappropriate.
But it's, people wait for it. Yes! I'm like, no! No!
It's one of those things you know it's not right and you know it's not something you can do in your daily life or say in your life, but it's just something that.
It's funny.
It's a release so to see someone else
and
do it.
You yes. know that guy. You know that yeah. guy that's his yes. insult. Yes. That's his go-to.
And he's insufferable in real life. Yes. But on yeah. screen, yes. man, is he
small
fucking
doses.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to hang out with him.
No. But I do want to watch him
yeah.
from afar.
Well, I think there's part of that is like, well, thank God I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
No matter
yeah.
what yes. I am, I'm
right.
not
right. Make you feel better about
yes.
yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, shitting in the office, shitting on the floor is...
Taking a deuce.
It's a strange... A lot of people over the years have said to me, like, oh, I want to quit my job and, like, shit on my boss's desk or shit on the floor or whatever it may be. I'm like, yeah, it's what the Pac-Man did.
That's what he does.
That's how he rolls.
How'd he do it? Did he squat? Did he put in a bag? Did he paper towel it in the bathroom? Did
drop
carry it? In
yeah.
What, that Michael should be a separate show. A mystery, the breakdown. We'll never know. The, like a podcast or something on The Office, the behind the scenes.
Oh,
how did this go
right.
down?
I'm Yo, surprised hey, there isn't one.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. That's... We'll cut you in. We'll give you 14%.
Nice.
All right. Well, the movie is Bernard and
Huey.
Nice. It's out right now, video on demand and in select theaters. Appreciate all the laughs over the years, man.
Right on.
And anything
if you're in New York City,
Gotham this weekend?
Yes. If you're in New York City, come see myself and Rob Mayer and Craig Davis on guitar.
Hear
at
the
Gotham Comedy Club.
Ever.
I think it's gotham.com.
They'll figure
Gotham
it out.
Google that.
Google
that.
Gotham Comedy.
Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
That's a busy
Look
weekend.
At you. Putting in the work.
Why not, right?
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks,
man,
guys.
It's been a joy.